From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you, David, and so good to be on with you this weekend, Life Change Weekend. Glad you're listening in. And as you know, on the weekends, we have guests on our program. Many times somebody who's been converted or somebody who's written a book. The next 2 weeks, though, we have something really special. I'm glad to have a new friend in my life, a good friend named John Marshall. And John, welcome to the program. Glad that you're on with us today.
Thank you, Dino. It's such an honor to be with you.
And John, you and I met a few months ago in Pensacola, Florida at a conference that was one of the most unique conferences I've ever been in. You and I participated in it. And we were talking about what God taught us through all of the years. And if I remember, there was over 400 years of experience there from 10 guys that were there, John. It was so good meeting you at that time. We had some good times over meals together. And that was quite a conference, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I felt it was good to go to a conference where we more mature guys, older guys, whatever you want to say, we're allowed to share some of what we've learned and know so much emphasis on the younger generation now, and we know that's where it needs to be. But I felt that it was good for us to get together and just share some good truths about things that we've learned in life.
I learned so many things at that conference, John. I was so delighted hearing what you shared and so many of the guys that were there. They've really counted the cost. I have always liked listening to the older people, whether it's in ministry or whatever it is, tell their story. And there were some wonderful stories told there. John, when I forgot the question that was being asked to us, but I remember you and I were on a panel, one of the panels together. I guess we were on several together. But you mentioned that you had read 20,000 pages. And when I heard 20,000 pages, I was overwhelmed. And then you said it was about the presidents. But then you and I had breakfast together, and I was just overwhelmed at the knowledge I received from you. What caused you to read about the presidents like that?
All right. I retired in 2017, and I had known going into retirement, and I'd been a pastor. I've been in the ministry 55 years. I've been a pastor, and I felt I needed a project. I needed something that would keep my mind focused for in the quiet times, the slow times, as I made the transition to into retirement. And so I chose as my project to read a major biography of every president. I read Pulitzer Prize winning biographies. I mean, these are big biographies. Turnell biographies are 1,000 pages each. So I plowed through some heavy reading. It took me 2 years. I read 20,000 pages. I averaged about 2 books a month, and it accomplished the mission. For about 2 years, I never had a feeling of, well, what do I do next? What do I do now? I never felt that I was just dragging myself through another day. I always had purpose, was driven, always had a biography with me to read. So that's what caused it.
You know, it's interesting when you said that at that meeting, John. I was in the midst of reading a biography on Churchill, and it was about 1,000 pages. And I really love reading about Churchill, but I must tell you, I was struggling. I was about halfway through the book, and I was thinking maybe of getting lighter reading somewhere. And you really challenged me when you talked about reading those presidents. So I think it's a fascinating topic. You know, some people listening in probably are maybe getting older in life and thinking about what to do. That was a project that was very unique. So tell us, who are some of the best authors that you read on the subject of the presidents. Who are some of the authors that maybe some of our readers may want to pick up and read?
There are some guys, they win Pulitzers. They're just good. You know, there's a reason why these guys rise to the top. McCullough, who just passed away, one of my favorite writers of all time. His books on Truman and Adams are excellent. Meacham. Meacham is, of course, a great biographer. He did Jackson and George H.W. Bush. Excellent. And then Chernow. Anything but Chernow. You know, Grant and Washington. Those are the heavy hitters. You know, if you're gonna start somewhere, I would start with one of those three writers and just have yourself some fun. They're all excellent writers, engaging, do a good job. I believe all three of them have won a Pulitzer for something. And so they're very, those would be the three, McCullough, Meacham, and Chernow.
Now, John, when you did this project, did you have a pad of paper there and a pencil or a pen and made notes? Was it just reading? How did you do it? What was your mechanics in doing this?
That is a great question. I marked every spiritual religious reference. That's what I did. That's who I am. You know, I serve the Lord Jesus. That's been my life. I started preaching when I was 15. I'm 70 now. I've served the Lord all my born days. And so to me, the one aspect of all their lives that really mattered is the spiritual. So I marked every spiritual reference in all religion, whatever, even if it's not about the president, somebody else. And then I would mark some major highlights, of course, mark things I felt, well, this matters. But that's a great question, because as you go into this, you're going to read 20,000 pages. When you're done, what are you going to do with it? Well, for me, my main concern was the spiritual. So that's what I marked as I read the books.
Have you ever thought about putting that into a book, those lessons you learned?
I'm just going to have to answer no. And I know that I get asked that question quite often. What am I going to do with this material? Writing is a discipline. It's a world unto itself. I've written sermons all my life, obviously, you know, 3 or 4 pages, you know, 14 point, that type of thing. So, and I do have degrees, so I've written essays and things like that. But to write a book, I've written a couple of smaller books, but no, I do not plan to write a book about what I've learned. There are people who say I should do that, but as of this point, I'm not doing that yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, John, tell our listeners a little bit about your ministry. I know you had a great ministry where you were at. I heard so much about it when I was at the conference. And you were very big into the global ministry as well. Tell us a little bit about your ministry there that you had.
Yes, I was a pastor at Second Baptist Church, Springfield, Missouri, which is a mega church, and I had the great honor. I like to tell people I was a mega church pastor back when it was okay to be a mega church pastor. Now they have a bad reputation in many circles, but the Lord did bless me, and I had 22 years there. And yes, we did have mission work all over the world. We were one of the leading missions churches in the world. And then the missions emphasis led us into a church planting emphasis in my last 7 years. I was at Second. We gave $3 million to missions and started 51 churches. So it was a massive project of doing the Lord's work all over the world, and I got to be a part of it. And Second was a great church before I got there, and it's still a great church now, 5 years after I'm gone. So it was of the Lord's doing, and I understand that. I truly do.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. We could spend our time talking to you about that ministry and what the Lord taught you through that and what we could learn from that. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you today. I'm so glad to have on my good friend, Pastor John Marshall. He and I have recently become acquainted at a conference that we participated in Pensacola, Florida. And we have him on because he's done this amazing project, reading 20,000 pages on the presidents from some of the finest authors that are out there. So we're so glad, John, to have you on today. Now, a question I have about reading this kind of material, and you mentioned some authors that really resonate with me. I've read some of the books that you mentioned. I've read a few of the biographies of presidents, but not anything like what you've done. I've always been fascinated by them. But how did you decide Which one did you read? Did you start at Washington, then go Adams, or how did you do that?
Yes, I did try to read them in chronological order. I wasn't able to do that totally. Sometimes it was hard to find biographies of presidents, and the less known the president, the more expensive the biography, which was interesting. But there is a site, a website, Best Presidential Biographies, and it's a guy who has, he's obviously spent years and years and years and years reading presidential biographies. And on every president, he'll list all 2, 3, 4, or 5 of what he considers to be the best biographies on that president, and he gives a little synopsis of the highlights of that person and strengths and weaknesses of the book. So that was always a go-to for me, bestpresidentialbiographies.com.
Get that address one more time, if you would, John.
Bestpresidentialbiographies.com.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm sure there's listeners who are going to go to that and get some of the books that are being recommended there. John, as you read these books, and again, it's fascinating. I remember reading about Truman and with the bomb, taking the bomb across over the ocean and almost losing the bomb out of the airplane. An unbelievable story. That was such a surprise to me. What was the biggest surprise you had in reading some of these books?
This is very interesting. You know that when you read that much, you're going to get someone catch you off guard. And I'm going to tell you the biggest surprise, and this will surprise you, that this was a big surprise to me, was the greatness of James Monroe.
Wow.
Now, doesn't that catch you off guard?
Yes, it did.
In the Battle of Trenton, you know, remember when Washington crossed the Delaware? It's little known that there was a little group of guys that went in as decoys so that Washington could get in one side. They started to fight on the other side of town. James Monroe was one of those young guys, a teenager, and he was injured. He almost died. And then Louisiana Purchase, we couldn't have had Louisiana Purchase without him. He just doesn't get credit for that. Then the era of good feeling. It's just an amazing study of how important he was. And yet he was a quiet, kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. That, to me, was the biggest surprise of how the James Monroe, through his life, in several situations, made a difference that to this day we still are beneficiaries of what he did.
Wow. What was his faith, John? Did the book point that out?
I knew you were going to ask me that question when I said that. This is bizarre. There are three men in the United States history that to know their real spiritual bent is going to take a super sleuth. You're going to have to be a guy better than Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. They are Ben Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, and James Monroe. One of the reasons you read the presidents is because there's so much material on the presidents. And somehow in this mountain of material about James Monroe, there's almost nothing about his religious beliefs. That is a mystery to presidential historians, is the religious beliefs of James Monroe.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating.
That really is fascinating. You're listening in to Life Change Weekend. So glad you're listening in. My good friend John Marshall is on. We're getting an education day about the presidents this week and next week. We'll continue here on the subject. Our gift offer this month, simply go to our webpage at dinobedroneministries.org. You can get the book, Leadership Lessons from the Pastoral Epistles. This is my most recent book that I finished. It's got 216 pages to it, almost 100 works cited in it. And we go to 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and we look at some of the biblical principles of leadership that God gives to those who are leading churches today. I hope you'll get the book, get a copy for your pastor, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Simply go to dinopedroneministries.org. Were there any other surprises beside that would jump out at us here? That's very fascinating what you just said about Monroe.
Yes, and this is a sad one. I was surprised at how slavery was the dictator of the United States until the Civil War. I just did not realize how profound the slaveocracy ruled us and controlled us. And I was stunned at how almost every decision, a president, a senator, a representative, the courts made, had to go through the filter of making sure that slavery would not be disturbed. I mean, I knew it was there. I understood that. I realized that. I just had no idea how it was the king of the hill, without any doubt, until the Civil War.
It's interesting when you say that. Now, I know Lincoln has high marks as a president through the years in the country, and I guess part of it is how he dealt with that. Do you still see Lincoln like that after reading all of the material?
Yes. Lincoln stood alone. The reason for the greatness of Lincoln is he literally defied his cabinet, defied everybody, kept counsel with himself before he became the president and those after he was elected, and then came out and never wavered. That was his tremendous gifting. Now, Lincoln did make the 100-year mistake. He picked Andrew Johnson to be his vice president, and Johnson became president after Lincoln did. And Johnson was the most racist president we ever had. He had no regard for the African Americans, and he basically undid in 4 years what 700,000 men died fighting about during the Civil War. Grant then became the next president and tried to retrieve it, but he could not. He just could not restore. The damage had been done. Johnson's presidency left us in a hole for 100 years until the 1960s. So that's the only mark, really, against Lincoln. But number one, he couldn't stand his own father. That's the one thing. That's an interesting study into itself, his bad relationship with his father. And then number two, his selection of Andrew Johnson for vice president. Other than that, yes, Lincoln stands true.
Mm-hmm. And if I understood you correctly, Lincoln is one of the, and Monroe, and I forget who the third one you said was, but it's hard
Ben
to...
Ben Franklin,
yeah. So Lincoln was hard to know what his religious faith was. Is that accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He grew up a Baptist, but you know, never joined, never made a profession of faith. Was raised with a strange belief known as predestinarianism. Now, that's not predestination. Predestinarianism is a belief that you have no control, you have no say, and if you're going to get saved, become a Christ follower, you'll get knocked down somewhere. His sister was walking through the woods one day and suddenly fell down screaming and crying, and so she got up and said she'd gotten saved. And Lincoln spent his whole life thinking he had to have experience like that. But then we went into the Civil War, and it got so bad, he began to think maybe we can't blame God for everything. His son died. The war was going bad that summer of 1862. He began to rethink that maybe there can be some interaction here between the human and the divine, and how it ended, how far he got, how close he came, we just don't know. It is interesting. His last word was Jerusalem. He was talking to Mary Todd, his wife, and said that he wanted to go see Jerusalem. That's when he was shot.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. Well, John, we're really learning today, and thank you so much for this. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. Dino Padron talking to you today. My good friend John Marshall is on. And John, since your retirement, you still live in that same area where your church is that correct?
Yes, in fact, I live right next door to it. My house adjoins the north parking lot of the church where I was pastor for 22 years.
That's got to be a great memory just being there. That's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about strengths and weaknesses that seem to have the biggest impact from your readings on the presidents. What were the strengths and weaknesses that seemed to have the biggest impact? If somebody listening wants to be the president of the United States, that's a good question for them to think about, looking at strengths and weaknesses.
Their strengths always was their ability to network well. They knew people. They somehow were interacting with people. Like, for instance, Washington, when he was president of the Constitutional Convention of the United States, I think he was there for 55 or 56 days. He ate alone only 7 times. Now, that's amazing. I mean, that's a stunning statistic. But yet, I saw that run through all these guys, no matter how popular, unpopular they were with the voters, elected or reelected or not, these were men who were interacting, mixing with people, they were involved. That was almost always a strength. Weaknesses, they would kowtow to people too often. They sometimes wouldn't be strong enough to go against wrong, especially during the slavery days. They just couldn't muster. They would know what was right, but they just could not seem to stand their ground and hold on to proper conviction. And nothing I learned, real quickly, the thing I learned was, no matter how strong a man was, his future was usually determined by how well he handled his main weakness.
Hmm.
You know, we think of strength, right? And, hmm. and our strengths, we start running full speed with our strengths, and we have to live to our strengths and give ourselves to our strengths, our spiritual gifts. But basically, how far you go will be determined by what you do with your biggest weakness. And my number one example of that was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon is probably the greatest foreign diplomat president we ever had. He was my boyhood hero. He was my political hero. But he had one weakness. He was a liar.
Hmm.
And that's what brought him down.
Hmm.
That's what got him in the end. Even with all those great strengths, it was the weakness that brought him to his knees. And I would see that in presidents. They would have great strengths, but they might have some weakness. Might be a weakness for women. Might be a weakness for drink. There would be something that just held them back from being all they could be right when they needed to be their most successful.
Yeah, let me just ask you this, John. If somebody in America, based upon your reading, somebody in America is thinking, I'd like to run for president. I've met, when I was at the college where I was president, there was a young man who very clearly told me, I want to be the president of the United States. Now, he isn't, but he is going up a political ladder. Is there a piece of advice you'd give to them?
Yes, you have to network. That's you have to know people. You have to help other people that you think someday will help you. None of these guys made it to the top without a network. There had to be this some people that they knew that they worked with. But then you have to live a pure life. I'm going to tell you, you can't hide anything anymore. If you have a weakness for gambling, it's going to get out. If you have a weakness for the opposite sex, it's going to get out. If you have a drinking problem, it's going to get out. The closer you get to the presidency or to any of these national offices, the more your life is going to be examined all the way back to when you were in grade school, basically. So you must, if you're going to run for president, you better start running when you're in junior high school and live a pure, straight life.
Great advice. John, we have about 2 minutes left in the program. You have in your signature 316, John 316. Tell our listeners what that means to you.
My dad led me to Christ when I was 6 years old. He was a preacher. He would tell me the story of Jesus' death on the cross, and he could tell I was beginning to be very concerned. And I said, Daddy, why'd they do that to Jesus? And he'd say, well, they were bad men. But then finally he could realize that I was under conviction, and he told me about how God loved us, and he taught me John 3:16, and so I memorized it. And then when I was 15 years old and was not serving the Lord and couldn't care less about the things of God, sitting on the back row of a church, an evangelist came for a revival and preached from John 3:16. And the old song says, stirred the slumbering chords again. And something happened that day in my life. And I came forward and my daddy was there at the altar, and he and I knelt together and prayed. And so I got saved under John 3:16, and I surrendered to preach under John 3:16. So it's been my verse all through my life.
That's a great story. That's a great story. John, great having you on. I'm so glad you'll be on with us next week again. Thank you so very much. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron with my good friend John Marshall. Next week, we'll be talking more about the presidents. We're looking at questions, what were the most effective leaders? Who were the most effective leaders after they left the White House? That's a great question we'll be dealing with next week. And so make sure you tell friends about our program and stay tuned next week to this. Don't forget our Bible study Monday through Friday on all of these networks. Just check for the time in your area as we study through the Word of God together. Also, Leadership Lessons from the Pastoral Epistles is our book. If you'd like to get it, simply go to our webpage at dinabadrilministries.org. And we'll be glad to send you a copy of the book, and all the details are there. Have a blessed weekend. God bless all of you. Don't forget to join us again Monday to Life Change Today.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.